Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember George?
Here.
Councilmember Paulding?
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Stortin?
Here.
And Mayor Ray Ressam?
Here. Would you please join Councilmember Barnidge for the flag?
Please stand. Put your hand on your heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item four is public comment. So in the interest of following procedure, I will open up public comment and see if anybody comes running in from the street. And seeing no one, I will close public comment. That takes us to item five. And I'm going to let staff read this one because it's nice and long. So, Mr. Robeson.
Good evening. Bill Robeson, your Public Works and Community Development Director. Thank you for having this special meeting so we can move on with this item. I'll just read this off. And we'll move forward. So this is a consideration of adoption of a resolution pursuant to Public Contract Code Section 20168, finding that an emergency exists within the city and authorizing contracting without a competitive solicitation for bids pursuant to Public Contract Code Section 22050 for the Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino Real Emergency Storm Drain System Repair Project. And that's Public Works Project PWT2020-04. So in that long block there, the second part is really the most important. It's the authorizing of contracting without competitive bids, because that's the normal way we do things. But in the situation where we have an imminent emergency, we try to streamline the process and go with a sole source contractor so we can get things moving, and time is of the essence in this case, as you all know. So just quick background: on January 14th, the council established that this was an emergency repair project for the storm drain system on Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino Real. I'll show some pictures in just a moment. Tonight we're going to be authorizing that contracting without a competitive bid solicitation. So the Public Contracts Code 22050 requires that after proceeding with an emergency project, the City Council review that emergency action, and then at each regularly scheduled meeting, the council review that project, review that emergency action, and until it's determined by a 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue on with that action. So we're going to keep coming back to your council until the emergency is resolved. So staff will be returning with updates, and we'll just keep going on with that until that project is terminated. So we're getting a lot of calls about the closure, and this is kind of what it looks like in the evening and in the morning. This is obviously Oak Park Road going kind of northbound, and then the picture in the right-hand bottom corner is looking back up the road in the morning. And again, this is a semi-permanent closure. We have to start that traffic control way back up over the hill on Oak Park so that people have time to get in that queuing lane, which is single now, and it does back up. It's an inconvenience, but it's absolutely necessary for public safety. To get back into the project really quickly, let me orient you. This is Highway 101 going kind of east to west on this photo. The overpass is here, Oak Park Boulevard, curves around, and then we have El Camino that's going again parallel with Highway 101. So we had a large flooded area. This may not look large, but there was about 40,000 gallons of water in this depression on El Camino. And that alerted us to something that was going wrong with our drainage system, because it was not moving. It was not draining at all. And then you can imagine the cars that go through that standing water, people trying to go around that or people going through that. That's a real traffic hazard. So there's a drainage inlet at this location. It flows down down the elevation towards Pismo and Grover Beach. And there's a large manhole. It's about 25 to 30 feet deep. We're not totally sure yet how deep it is because the top is kind of ground off. But so we have that the drainage inlet issue. We have the manhole issue that is failing. And then right at this location, we also have a section of pipe that was coated. And that epoxy repair has failed also. That was done about 20 years ago. These two sections of drainage pipe are clear, so they're yellow, denoted in yellow. The red areas are the problematic areas, which either have plugs or are full of sediment and need to be jetted out. So as you come down this way, well, actually, let me stop there. This is kind of the approximate area of the void that is underneath the street and underneath the Christmas tree lot. It goes about 3 feet to the west of the manhole, and then it goes about 12 feet back into the private property. So there's quite a large void under there, and that was made by the velocity and erosion of the top of the manhole. So that disintegrated, and water, this is a confluence area you can kind of see, and water's coming in there and just disintegrating that and then going out because the bottom pipe of the manhole is also plugged, and I'll show that in just a moment. So it overflows and just starts to disintegrate the soil around it. This is an interesting phenomenon here. This is a maintenance hole. I think I've been calling manhole. It's going to be take me a little while, but the general neutral things, it's called a maintenance hole now. So this maintenance hole was covered up by AJ Spurs. That was done 30 plus years ago. Never should have been done. This is really the cause of a lot of the problems here, because normally we would just go down into this drainage inlet or maintenance hole and jet back this way, across, underneath the road, and we would be able to unplug or get that sediment to drain back out that way. But we don't have that luxury at this point. So we have about 600 to 700 foot linear foot plug in this area. So it goes all the way back to this point that connects up with the box culvert that we'll see in just a moment. So this is a section of the maintenance hole that we've been talking about. It's about 20, about 30 feet deep, we'll say. So the bottom drainage pipe is full of sediment. Not anymore, but I'll get to that in a moment too. But so it functions, Chilton releases into this maintenance hole, and so does El Camino. About 8 to 10 feet back from the maintenance hole, there's a section of pipe failure, and the epoxy inside that is crumbled, and it's just backfilled with soil, rocks, and debris. This pipe is draining freely now, but as you can see, if this plugs, then the maintenance hole begins to fill up, and then this portion of the maintenance hole has disintegrated, so this water rushing through misses this area. It goes through and starts to degrade this area, plus the overflow of this starts to go into that void as well, making it kind of a slurry, and a lot of it has gone down into this pipe, and it started to plug that and back up into the maintenance hole. There's a shot of the plug drainage inlet on El Camino. Let's see. So there's a blue line I put on here. That's where the water was. We started pumping a couple hours, and it took maybe 3 hours to get to this point. This is the pumping pumping hose that goes back over into Caltrans right away. This is a shot of the maintenance hole location. So it is right here in red. You can see the sidewalk here and curb and gutter. Oak Park is in this location. So the void that's underneath the ground, it's about 2 to 3 feet under the ground, is shown and outlined in yellow. That's AJ Spurs where, just wanted to point out where the maintenance hole is underneath the structure. And this is the sequence of repairs that we're going to do in this emergency situation. The first is to jet this pipe out. Actually, the first is to clean this culvert so that we can get to the pipe. Jet this pipe out so that it can flow back out. Repair the manhole and storm drain pipes. And then jet back this way and fix this section of pipe as well. So it's a little dark, but this is about 200 feet inside the box culvert. So a skid steer makes its way in there. There's about 6 inches on each side, but it makes it inside this box culvert, and it goes in and backs out and takes a bucket load of soil with it. So it's just doing that. It's about 2.5 minutes each time. I mean, as it goes deeper into the box culvert, the time increases, but it's about 2.5 minutes average. And there's about 100 cubic yards of material inside this box culvert. So as you look at this box culvert, I put this line on there because that is the where the debris or gravel was filled up to. So it's about 3.5 to 4 feet. And then this area, I have a close-up picture. This is where the drainage pipe at the bottom of the box culvert connects to the drainage pipe at the bottom of the maintenance hole. Excuse me. So let me back up. So this pipe right here. The main pipe, the maintenance pipe at the bottom of the maintenance hole is located right in this section. That's the connection point. So it goes up to that line. This is a close-up of that. So you can see the box culvert ends right about in this location. For us, it goes back, but the soil starts to come down, so it's kind of a mounding effect. It's low after this line and behind this mound, and then it came up and bunched up in this area and basically covered that connection point. So we had no drainage really whatsoever. So we opened that up, and it started flowing again. And it actually started flowing when we started getting closer. The rain that happened, just yesterday, it did have some water that came down, and it started to blow, to move that soil out of that pipe, and we're having some good drainage from there already. So that's going to be relatively easy to fix because we removed all the soil and debris from the box culvert. So budget, the implications, they're really not, there's no real implications other than us having to move money around. We have a CMP lining program, which is a corrugated metal pipe lining program. We've done those throughout the years. and those degrade after years. So we line them with an epoxy lining, very thick, very durable. And we move around the city and prioritize before that and move around the city and do that lining program. But in this case, we're going to have to move that money and put it towards this project itself so that we can line the El Camino segment on each side and then put a new segment of line in between that. And then local sales tax funds fund that. And then we have the other chunk of money that was savings from our Sierra Drive improvement project, which we were going to do other drainage improvements that are pending or are prioritized, and we're going to have to reallocate that to this emergency project. So we have about $177,000 total that we can allocate for this. We're hoping it doesn't amount to that, but we don't know until we open up the ground and see what kind of work needs to be done in that void area. The last portion of the project, which is not necessarily an emergency project, is to put a new manhole in so that we don't have this occurrence again, so that if the box culvert does fill or any of these pipes fill in the area, we can have that maintenance hole location. And it'll be in the parking lot of AJ Spurs, so we're still working that out. That will be our maintenance point so that we can go down that hole and jet all of that area easily with the hose that we have. And that's just 130 feet versus 600 to 700 feet. And when you get to that length and you try to jet things, it just does not work very well. You can't get that. You can't get the flow to come back through. I can answer any questions, but the recommendation, as you can see, it's to adopt a resolution finding that an emergency exists within the city and authorizing contracting without competitive solicitation for bids. And the second part is authorize the city manager or his designee to execute a contract with Cal Portland Construction. Cal Portland has been doing the sedimentation and debris removal from the box culvert. They mobilized very quickly for us, and they strategized with us on how to resolve this issue quickly. So we're ready to keep moving forward with them. I'll give them, if your council approves this or adopts this, then I'll give them the sign to go forward tomorrow, mobilize for the next section. And that's going to be the repair of the void and the manhole. So we will be, if we can begin work tomorrow, it'll probably take about 5 days to repair that. And that's including the section of pipe along El Camino. So there'll be a section of pipe by El Camino repaired, the void filled, and the manhole repaired at the top of that. And yes, so as far as the lane closure goes, it's going to follow the completion of the project. So in about 5 days, the lane closure will stop, and we'll open it back up. That's all predicated on what we find underground and whether or not there's other weather. We're not seeing any. There's some rain that's going to come Sunday, it looks like, but it looks like we're in a good pocket here. That's a big positive for us. So I can answer any questions you have.
Well, let's start with the people who were not here to hear your presentation last week. Councilmember George, do you have any questions?
I do, actually. Thank you. First of all, I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. Had I known it was an emergency, I would have called in or something. I had a few questions. First of all, I wanted to thank Director Robeson, the city, Shane Taylor, and your lead maintenance worker that had to actually go down the 28
yes.
feet. So thank you for that and for recognizing that there was a problem in addressing it. So here are my questions. If you go back to the slide that had the this slide.
Yes.
So it's my understanding that that red pipe that runs all along El Camino right there, mm-hmm. that one is 70 to 100% blockage. Is that what it
That's
was
right.
at? Okay, so the yellow line, the left yellow pipe that you said is a good strong pipe that we had just put in.
Yes.
Do we know if there's any blockage that's starting to occur from the point where it touches the red pipe? Because if that's at full blockage, then as the water is flowing through the yellow pipe, hits the red line, and there's nowhere for it to go, mm-hmm. wouldn't it come back? So. Do we know that if a problem is starting to exist right there, or is it hard to tell because it's under AJ's purse?
I mean, we think that there's a problem starting to exist there. This okay. is an 18-inch pipe, so it's a little smaller than this 24-inch reinforced concrete pipe. But it does flow through there. It makes it through. A lot of the water that we encounter is actually from Chilton. But this is a confluence area, too, but... it doesn't seem to be backing up, so okay. we've had cameras all throughout the areas that we could access, and this one is clear, and so is this to a certain point. So, the pipe that's in red is substantially blocked.
Okay, thank you. So if it's my understanding that whole red section, and I'm calling it the red section because I don't know what else to call it, is 600 to 700 linear feet of blockage. And you're saying when we're jetting in from the left and from the right, and we can only get around 150 feet for good jetting. So is there a section in the middle that we're going to be missing? Or will the jet get through both ways?
No, once we can get this to flow... then we can start to jet back down and gravity with gravity. So as we open this up and it's opened, as we open this, then this starts to open. So it's kind of like a chain reaction. We open up the box culvert so that this connection can be flowing freely, and then we can start to jet this out, and it goes, it can just follow that flow. So a lot of that sediment will just come out, go into the box culvert, and we'll just continue to remove it.
And can you just point out the area of El Camino, the pipe that you're talking about, the section you're talking about replacing?
Sure. So it's right here. It's not a huge section, but once you have a crumpling and the material in there, it just mm-hmm. blocks it like a clod. So this failure, again, is about 7 to 10 feet away from this maintenance hole. And as we open this up, we'll just open that area up, replace that segment of pipe, and start to clean that and possibly do some coating in these areas as well. But as we open it up, we can put cameras in there, and then we can evaluate the quality and the integrity of the pipe.
And did we talk about backfilling in where the ground, where the void area, or
sure.
did I miss that part of the presentation?
Let's see. So this manhole area up at this section will be replaced. This section is in good shape. This is blown out in this area, so it's actually just wide open. That's why it kind mm-hmm. of opened up more on this side, and the void is larger in this area. So this section will be replaced with something that's much more structural than what was there. This HDPE, it's high-density polyethylene. They make better high-density polyethylene now, which is much thicker. And you can also put a reinforcing coating where you think that there's going to be velocities of water and debris coming. So we're going to reinforce that, and that'll fix that the manhole structure itself, and then this whole void will be done in lifts so that we can compact it down so it doesn't move, and the void will be filled in incrementally.
Okay, so you're going to pack it down and then fill it in.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And then my last question is just a procedural question. How long does it typically take to go through the competitive bid process?
It takes probably around 2 months at least.
2 months?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a certain amount of time that we're required to go out to bid? Like, is it a mandatory 30 days that we have to have the bid out? I'm just wondering why it takes 2 months for something.
We have to advertise. We have to put notifications in. Mm-hmm. Tim might want to comment on that, but 30 days is our standard. We go out, we have people come in, we talk about the bid, we talk about the project, and then they come back and actually submit a bid. So that That time frame is usually around 2 months. It can be even longer, but yeah.
And how much staff time usually goes into prepping and preparing for a competitive bid?
That's a good question. I would say, depending on the scope of the project, but a medium-sized project, I would say it takes Jill and Glenda probably about eight working days to get that done.
Thank you so much. Those are all my questions.
Councilmember Barnett.
Thank you. So the AJ Spurs, the maintenance, what are we calling it? Maintenance hole?
Maintenance hole, yes.
Maintenance hole. So when was AJ Spurs built?
Well, we think it was built around 30-plus years ago.
Yeah, I can't really remember.
The building itself.
So
it's changed a couple times, but...
It wasn't supposed to be covered up.
Right.
But it's not necessarily what's causing the problem. It's just that we can't get to it. We can't access it appropriately because it's such a long span. Mm-hmm. So there's no cost sharing that...
Yeah.
I'm sure that's already been brought up.
Yeah, it has. That's a great question. Yeah, no, it does not cause the problem, but it doesn't allow us to maintain things like we normally do. Normally, right. We would be able to access this, jet right. it out, fix the issues, and then this whole backup system, the whole backup and plugging of the pipes wouldn't have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as far as cost sharing, all these structures that you see are ours, are the city's, even
right.
though they're inside the city limits.
Okay.
And the water that's coming into these structures is, you know, 98% city water from, you know, the elevated
right.
areas around there. So,
okay. And I had the same question about the bid timing. And there was one other question. Something about, I think. No, if it comes back to me,
okay.
I'll get back to you. Thank you. Thanks, Bill.
Councilmember Paulding, any questions?
Just a couple. Appreciate the presentation. So in terms of the contract with CalPortland, is it going to be a time and materials basis, T&M, or they're going to submit a bid and then you'll manage extra costs with the change order, not process?
Yeah, they're going to submit a bid, and they've gone through it a few times. So we've met with them. We've gone out to the site. We've showed them what it looks like, and they're going to submit a bid, and if there's more or expanded scope, then we're going to have to go through the change order process.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to follow up a little bit on the AJ Spurs question, and I asked this question last week, but I was actually thinking about it a little bit more. Would that have been a mistake by covering that maintenance hole cover? And if so, as a result of that, we would have had access at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been identified at that time, and it would have been mitigated, and we'd have access, appropriate access. Now we have to pay additional funds to create a new access point as a result of that mistake that was made 30, 35 years ago. I want to be a good neighbor, but I want to pay as less as possible.
Yeah.
So is there any concern or liability regarding that decision that
We can explore that some more as that comes closer. We've talked to the city of Grover Beach about that. I think no one there is really aware of it or wasn't there during the time that decision was made, I should say. We can review that, but I think that from what we've seen, the city was fully aware of that structure going in, and
mm-hmm.
I think... From what Shane
just
tells
happened.
Me, Shane's been
here. Shane, he would know, yes.
He does remember uh-huh. that. He said that he, you know, objected to that. He thought that was a terrible idea, which, you know, most people.
Now, yeah.
That's right. And, but they you know, went ahead and they disregarded that, and now we're here, so.
Well, he does predict rain every year, and so I have to trust
yes, right.
that.
Yes,
he's good at procrastinating, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
We can explore that some more.
I want
yeah.
to be a good neighbor and understand that
sure.
the decision was made, but as a result, now some changes have to be made.
Sure.
I was curious, though, because it is a line that now goes into the Grover City, but mm-hmm. we own it, we maintain it, even if it were to, say, 20 years from now on the Grover Beach side, something happens, we're responsible for the line.
That's true.
Unless there's some liability that happens on top of the property that...
Yes. We're okay. Confirming. I mean, we see easements. Mm-hmm. We're confirming those now. But normally when there's infrastructure that's going in, there's a utility easement that goes over that, stacks on top of that, and that allows the agency company to do work in that area. So that's what we're going to take advantage of.
Okay. And then for the 5 days of repair, how long until it's completely repaired when the new maintenance hole is
placed?
That's
a great question. So everything will be functional in about 5 days. We won't have a patch on the sidewalk at that point. We'll probably be able to patch the asphalt portion because it won't be that large. But the sidewalk and going back into the property, that'll probably take a few more days. But we have that as part of the bid as well.
Okay. And then because this is not a competitive bid, we're still trusting it's a reasonable cost for
yes.
the work that needs to be done in this emergency circumstance. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Dan Keyes, we're talking about him. He's
the worked, great.
The great, sure. Yes. We can put that in there. But I won't. Hopefully he's not listening because then he'll. He's worked in this industry before. He's done this type of work, and he knows Cal Portland. We've worked with them on other projects, the numbers that they're bringing back are reasonable. So he feels they're reasonable as well, and so that's kind of the barometer that we're using.
Okay. Thank you. I really do appreciate all the work that's been done on this, and I know it's something that needs to be taken care of in a hurry. Thank you.
So a couple things. I thought we would have numbers tonight. So I heard you say it two different ways. I thought I heard you say to Councilmember Paulding that we're going to be getting a bid, but then I just heard you say the bids are coming back. So I'm unclear about how we know how much this is going to cost. Mm. It seems like you're seeing some of it, but we don't have anything, but they're going to start tomorrow.
Right.
Can you just explain the money to me, please?
Sure. So what we're seeing from them is about $100,000. But the issue that we're having is we haven't been able to fully evaluate the void underneath the street. So we don't know we've looked in there with flashlights or, you know, headlamps, but we don't know the exact parameters of that void. So we have to hedge our bet a little bit. If with the information that we've given them, they're in that $100,000 range. But again, since we can't see it and it's not a kind of a finite scope, we're kind of in a range rather than a final bid number.
So that 100,000 at this point includes everything we've talked about tonight, more or less, and then there may be undiscoverables that come
exactly.
forward next week.
Yes, and I'll come back to your council with those bid number with the numbers that are coming back, what we're finding, updates so that you're all informed and we're transparent with the money that we're spending.
And then since this is going to be coming forward kind of as a reportable action or as a report for the next few mm-hmm. meetings, mm-hmm. at the next meeting, can you please have as part of that report just a basic report out about other box culverts around the city that just sort of a lay of the land thing? I mean, this kind of snuck up on us because of the flooded area, and I realize that's how we find these things out. But just not tonight, mm-hmm. but when you do that report out, just kind of give us an idea of what's happening citywide.
Sure. So you're asking for just box culverts?
Well,
or
no,
kind
I,
of
I don't know exactly what
our entire system.
This is a big, yeah, maybe just a quick flyover of
yeah,
where
sure.
we kind of know there's some issues and where
Absolutely.
We know it's clear. I think that would be helpful even just for the whole city to hear that.
Yes, so Shane's crew, we all kind of go through the schedule, see how things are functioning. We take videos of our systems at certain points. Shane knows kind of the hierarchy or the history of the schedule and how it needs to turn over or there's problematic areas, et cetera. So I can bring that information
yeah,
back.
Yeah, and I just want to be, I guess as I'm hearing you talk, I want to be clear because we have a packed agenda next week.
Yes.
Just are there other areas of concern that we're kind of watching? That's all I want to know.
Absolutely.
So I don't need to hear about
there
all
are,
of it.
There are, and I'll bring those to you. Sure.
And that way, if we get hit as more storms come, the council will have some idea of what we're kind of keeping our eye on. But, like, just a brief flyover, because
sure,
next week's going to be a crazy meeting.
Absolutely.
I've thought of my one question.
Go ahead.
Okay. The other question was, someone had mentioned online, I think I saw, that there might have been a sinkhole in this area in the past years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Had we had an issue to Shane, I would defer to Shane on that.
50 years ago is what the person
50?
Said.
Okay.
50?
I'm not saying
Shane,
you're that old,
wasn't
Shane.
Wasn't here then, but I'll get some history on that.
Okay.
I'll dig back. I think there's been some problems in this area. That's why there was an epoxy repair there.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy, I forgot his last
Randy,
name.
Yeah, Randy, I remember.
He was in our office today visiting, coincidentally. But
let's
we did
be clear,
call
not
him.
My husband, Randy.
No. No, he worked for the city of Aurora Grande. He was
Stephen? No, Randy Robinson.
Randy Robinson, that's right.
Yeah.
We called him about this. He had some history of it.
Okay.
There was a sinkhole that Shane talks about that a bus fell into. So at my update, I'll give a quick overview of kind of the status and the conditions of some of our system, of our drainage system, and some problem areas perhaps, and then any sinkholes in history that Shane could give me.
Thank you. And I had
just one quick follow-up question.
Okay.
For the future, would it be appropriate for us to consider some type of on-call services contract for this type of work, just because we don't have the resources in-house? It would.
Sure.
I don't know if that's something to maybe think about.
Yeah, we can look at that.
Okay.
So finishing my questions, for Grover Beach, can you just I know they've been very helpful, but I first of all want to acknowledge that they've been helpful, but secondly, what ministerially do we have to do in terms of working with Grover and permitting with Grover in the next 5 days?
We're getting an encroachment permit from them, and that's the only requirement that they've laid out for us. Now, going back into possibly the regional board or Army Corps, we're starting to talk with them about what we need to do after we resolve the emergency situation.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Well, then I'll open it up to public comment and see if anybody comes rushing in from the sidewalk. 3, 2, 1. And so I'll close public comment and bring it back to the council for consideration. I don't know if we need commentary. Anything formal? Would anyone like to make a motion?
I would move approval of consideration of adoption of a resolution pursuant to Public Contract Code, Section 20168, finding that an emergency exists within the city and authorizing contracting without a competitive solicitation for bids pursuant to Public Contract Code, Section 22050, for the Oak Park Boulevard and El Camino Real Emergency Storm Drain System Repair Project. Public Works 2020-04.
Do you want to add number 2 into there as well?
Yes.
It's actually in the resolution.
Oh, we don't have to? Okay, great. I will second. So, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Storton?
Yes.
All right. Thanks to the city for all the quick work and all the brave void diving. We gave Dan some shout out online and he got a lot of love, so I hope he went and saw that post. So if he hasn't, direct him over to my page and he'll see that, or to my Facebook page.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone, that takes us to item 6, adjournment. We will see you in 7 days for our regular meeting next week. It's a big one, so tune in. We'll see you then.